underscored and reemphasized what he intends to do. He'll be there starting a new four-year term. He'll have more response from a Democrat Congress, and I think it's going to be effective.
Senator Doyle, are you concerned about the reports that the Watergate special prosecutor is investigating your running mate for allegations of improprieties with respect to his past campaign financing?
No.
Senator, I understand you're not too happy with the vice presidential debates being on Friday. Can you explain that?
I am. I'm not. What? First time I've heard about it.
You reported saying that most Americans will be spending Friday at high school football
game. Well, if I had a son or daughter playing or lived somewhere, I think I'd go to the football game. But, you know, I can't do anything about it. I'll have to go to the debate.
You think the debates will be intriguing enough to keep people home?
Oh, they may pay in some. I don't suggest everyone's going to rush off the football game and just leave me and Mondale alone, but there'll be the panel there and our friends and relatives and creditors and others, partisans, county chairman. I imagine George Meany will tune in to see how his boy's doing. Mondale, that is.
Senator, one of the reasons you're here is to attract the rural and agricultural vote. A lot of people think that farmers emphasize the peanut farmer. What do you think about that?
Well, I'm not certain he's even a farmer. I think he's sort of a middleman, a warehouseman. He does deal with farmers, and I think he picks up something in that area, but I was in Columbus just a week ago today, and we're back for our third trip in a couple of weeks. Ohio is a very important state. We're talking to farmers and others who have an interest in politics and good government, and that's why I'm here speaking for President Ford.
Senator Doyle, how do you expect your ticket will do in Ohio, percentage-wise?
Well, I hope we have 51% or more. I really don't know. I haven't seen the latest surveys. We were down the last survey I saw, and I understand there may be another survey in the field, but I don't have any results.
How far down were you?
I think about six or eight.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. Spontaneous demonstrations in 1972 in Miami. But in any event, on last Saturday, I visited with Governor Reagan in California. I can tell those who supported Governor Reagan, I can tell those who supported President Ford, I can tell the Republicans and Democrats and independents everywhere in this land who are concerned about good government that the Republican Party is united, that we're going to win the election on November 2nd for all Americans, not just Republicans.
I really don't know. That's why I haven't commented. I don't know. Haven't discussed it with him. Don't know the facts. And don't think I could add anything.
Thank you.
What about
tax
cuts?
I don't like tax cuts.
I can say that so far, Mr. Carter has yet to take a definite stand on anything that I can think of. And I don't think he will take a definite stand. And let me tell you why I say that. I know why, too. That's two of us. But the others don't know why. I think most Americans are concerned about government. You're concerned about big spending, programs, bigger and bigger government, higher and higher taxes, more and more promises. I think most Americans want fewer promises and lower taxes and fewer government programs and less federal interference. And that's the Ford promise. Now, Governor Carter will shade his discussion. He will tell you anything you want to hear if it means getting your vote on November 2nd. If you look at the Democrat platform, and I trust we'll look at the platform, or at least look at summaries of the platform. You needn't take my word for it. If you look at the Democrat platform, you'll find 65 new or increased or added to spending programs in that platform. You'll find 22 new or increased or added to federal agencies in that platform. And this comes from the same man who talked about streamlining government, giving you a balanced budget, reducing the size of our bureaucracy, and all those other things that Governor Carter said time after time after time. And I say to this audience, whether you're Democrats or Republicans or independents, it's time you take a look. It's time you take a look at Governor Carter's promises. It's time you take a look at their platform. It's time you take a cold, hard look, not for the sake of Gerald Ford, not for the sake of the Republican Party, but for your sake, your family's sake, and the sake of America. Clear pineapple juice. I think one thing of great interest to this audience would be Governor Carter's stand on defense. I think most Americans, most people in the great state of Ohio and this part of Ohio and all over Ohio are concerned about our defense. In 1972, Governor Carter was saying we shouldn't cut anything from defense. In 1975, he was saying we ought to cut $15 billion from defense. This year, he's saying we ought to cut $5 to $7 billion from defense. At the very time, our Secretary of Defense is warning us about the Russian buildup and the Russian progress and the all-out missile effort by the Russians. And I say particularly to the young people in this audience, we've got to be number one for the sake of peace, for your sake and your children's sake, not for the sake of war, but for the sake of peace. My first campaign stop after Russell, Kansas, was Seattle, Washington, where Governor Carter went to use the American Legion. He went to Seattle knowing what he would say, and he said it to the American Legion, reaching out to all those liberals across the land to stand up in front of the American Legion, proud patriots, and tell those legionnaires. And he knew he wasn't talking to the legionnaires. He tried to have it both ways, as he tries to have everything both ways. He said, well, I'm against amnesty, but I'm for general pardon. Well, I was on that program the next day, and I looked up the word amnesty. And the word amnesty says a general pardon. And I can tell you this, the Ford Dole administration is against a general pardon, a general amnesty, or general clemency. And for those who still remember South Vietnam, despite its bitter memories for many, there are still some families in this land, yes, some children, some 18, some 19, some younger, some wives, some parents, who are still waiting word with a heavy heart, but still waiting with some hope that someday some word will come from Southeast Asia about those Americans who are still missing in action, who may be alive, who may be prisoners of war. And I say, as I've said at almost every stop, we've got our priorities mixed up. If I have any concern, it's going to be, my concern is going to be for those forgotten Americans in Southeast Asia, and not those who forgot America in the time of need and turned their backs on America. I know that Governor Carter wants to be president. He won a few primaries here and there against scattered opposition. He lost 6 out of the last 8. He's made one promise after another. He's been giving a great many interviews lately. Some I haven't read. Others are still looking at the pictures. And others are still trying to figure out what kind of a judgment a man has who would first grant such an interview. And not just that interview, but then go to the Associated Press and say, and then deny and deny and deny, that anyone who makes above the median income ought to have their taxes increased. That's his statement, not mine. And he didn't know what the median income was at that time. And let me tell you that the median income per family, per American family, working husband, working wife, working children, is $14,000 a year. Now, I know that Governor Carter has weaseled and squirmed and wiggled trying to get off that hook, but he's not going to get off that hook. That was his language, not ours. Does anybody here want their taxes raised? Well, he said he didn't think most Americans wanted their taxes lowered. He also said that all income ought to be treated alike. He said in New York that our national tax system was a disgrace. What he didn't say is that the Congress has been controlled not by John Ashbrooks, but by liberal Democrats for 40 out of the past 44 years. And if you're concerned about your taxes, and you're concerned about the tax system, you're not only going to vote and work for President Ford, you're going to vote and work for John Ashbrooks and other conservative members of Congress who are concerned about your future, not just one new spending program on top of another spending program. And for Governor Carter's sake, he talks about loopholes. He has the right to talk about loopholes. We would just like to know which loopholes he means. Does he mean the investment tax credit? His tax in 1975 was, I think, $68,000 before he used the investment tax credit. He took off $41,000. That left him taxed $17,000, which is about 12.8% of his income. And I'll bet everyone in this audience, or almost everyone in this audience, paid a higher percentage of your income than Governor Carter paid last year. And he's the same man who stands before the poor and says, oh, we've got to change the tax system. The tax system's a disgrace. And I say to those who are concerned about America, who are concerned about the future of America, you better take a cold, hard look. Do you want registration of guns in this part of Ohio? Well, Governor Carter does. It's in their platform. It's in their platform. Read it. If not, someone will read it to you. Now, he went to Montana to make that speech. He said all handguns ought to be registered. There's a fellow out there named Melcher who's running for the Senate on the Democrat ticket. He very quickly put out a statement saying, I don't agree with Governor Carter. Well, some Americans do agree with Governor Carter. Some Americans do not agree with Governor Carter. What about grain embargoes? I assume you're interested in agriculture in this area. I am. Most areas of rural America are concerned about agriculture. He told the American farmers in Des Moines, Iowa, if you elect Governor Carter, the embargoes will be ended once and for all. Then he said an hour later that probably wasn't accurate. Then he said in this month's Reader's Digest that one of the causes for inflation was the excessive sale of grain to Russia. And so I just say, ladies and gentlemen, again, Democrats and Republicans and independents, take a cold, hard look. Take a cold, hard look at what Governor Carter says. Now, they're having three debates, you know, so he can state all of his positions on each issue on separate nights. And I think the American people ought to have Governor Carter stand up, at least in that last debate, and he ought to say to the American people, he ought to say, friends and supporters and others, this is my final position. This is where I stand. And I think the American people would respond. They need him in Plains, Georgia. I think others who are homeowners and would like to think that you can deduct your mortgage interest from your income tax ought to take a look at Carter's various stands on that proposal. He's been on again, off again, and fuzzing up again. And I just say, ladies and gentlemen, if you look at his statements on defense, if you look at his statements on tax reform, if you look at his statements on agriculture, if you look at his statements on the economy, you're going to find that time after time he has no program at all. And on the other hand, we have President Ford. Now, President Ford, as John Ashbrook knows and as I know, is the same man he was today, is the same man today he was 2 years ago, 10 years ago, and 20 years ago. He's an honest, decent, open American. He's confident. He's competent. He projects leadership. And that's what we want in America, and that's what we can have if you vote for President Ford on November 2nd. And so on behalf of John Ashbrook, who cannot be here, and on behalf of the Republicans on this platform, but more importantly, on behalf of all Americans, I say look it over. Look at my record. Look at President Ford's record. We're not perfect. We've made mistakes. But the choice is yours. The choice is yours. And you make the decision on November 2nd. Which direction do we go? Do you want the ultra-liberal ticket of Carter and Mondale? Thank you. Do you want the candidate endorsed by the New York Liberal Party, Mr. Carter? No! You want the candidate endorsed by George Meany? No! You know, they asked George Meany one time to run for president. He said, why step down? Now, if Carter should be elected, there are going to be two hotlines. One's going to be to George Meany and one to Russia. And he'll talk to Meany first. And that's the way it's been. And I say he's the candidate, he's the captive of organized labor. And I believe in the working men and women, but they're not for gun control. They're not for registration of handguns. They're not for big spending. They're not for more bureaucracy. They want less government, lower taxes. And they're not going to follow the dictates of George Meany or any other labor leader. And I say if you have any other doubt about his liberalism, take a look at his running mate. He's my friend. When he votes yes, I vote no in the Senate. When he votes no, I vote yes. And for the past month, we haven't been voting at all, but we haven't changed the vote in the Senate. And that's Senator Mondale. He has a 94, 95 ADA rating. That's not the American Dairy Association. That's not the American Dental Association. That's the Americans for Democratic Action, the most liberal group in America. And I say, take a look at the ticket. Right. Take a look at the ticket. And if that's what you want, bigger government, let me leave you with one thought. I would guess the Democrats may retain the Congress. If it hadn't been for the courage of President Ford, not with McDonald, I'm not talking about that, but I would guess the Democrats will retain the Congress. And keep this in mind if you're a taxpayer. If it hadn't been for the courage of President Ford in vetoing some 56 bills, you'd be paying more and more and more and more. And you heard Governor Carter say it. He said he wouldn't have vetoed any bills. He criticized President Ford for every veto. He admitted he hadn't even read the bills. So the only inference you can draw is that he would sign everything. So who's going to keep a check on the liberal Congress without President Ford in the White House? So keep that in mind. And then I ask you for your help. I ask you as sincerely as I can. Oh, yes, we want to win. I figured out if Ford gets elected, I get elected. But that's not the reason. That's not the reason. It's not because we're Republicans. Because I believe we offer the best hope for all Americans. So do your best. Help us out for another 5 weeks, and we'll help you out for 4 more years. Thank you very much.